This is Jay Sekulow, a revolt within the State Department against President Obama's plans for Syria.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Pressure mounting for President Obama to step up military action against Syria's Bashar al-Assad. More than 50 State Department officials signing a letter urging the president to order targeted airstrikes against Assad's troops.
51 mid-level State Department career employees signed this memo, basically saying they don't think our policy in Syria is right. This isn't against ISIS, it's against Assad. And the argument is that we can't try to negotiate an end to the civil war when Assad continues to break the ceasefire unless we have more teeth, specifically more airstrikes against Assad to try to force him to the negotiating table to try to get a settlement.
John Kirby said they are aware of the cable and that they are just now getting into the process of reviewing its contents, but he sent us this statement that says the dissent channel is an existing official vehicle in place to allow State Department employees to convey alternative views and perspectives on policy issues. This is an important vehicle that the secretary, as well as the department institutionally, values and respects, that allows department employees to express policy views candidly and privately to senior leadership.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
ISIL is on defense. ISIL's ranks are shrinking as well. Their morale is sinking. As one defender, as one defector said, ISIL is not bringing Islam to the world, and people need to know that.
Unfortunately, despite all our progress against ISIL on the battlefield and in the financial realm, our efforts have not reduced the group's terrorism capability and global reach. The resources needed for terrorism are very modest, and the group would have to suffer even heavier losses on territory, manpower, and money for its terrorist capacity to decline significantly.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. A revolt within the State Department. This is not shocking. Coming on the heels of John Brennan's statements, the CIA director yesterday, chastising, really, and setting the record straight that the president's plan in Syria and Iraq, or specifically Syria, is not working. It's failing, that we've not curtailed ISIS. This is a significant development. Then 51 career employees, including the consul general that's based from the United States in Turkey, said this whole approach to Syria is not working. This is creating quite a stir in Washington, D.C. Jordan, first reaction of just this, the 51 State Department employees coming forward with this, then Than will go to you from Washington.
Yeah, and these aren't unnamed individuals. It's about mid-level folks who are willing to put their name on a document like this. It was given to the New York Times. I think they know it was going to be made public, though the administration tried to play that down. And it's a real criticism of the Obama administration's strategy in Syria. It talks about how, you know, it's been 5 years of conflict. There is no end in sight. And, of course, you've got this situation with ISIS, but also the Assad regime, something that's been a bit forgotten in these discussions.
All right. Also, the reaction in Washington, Than, this is a pretty shocking development. And you said something right before we went on the air. I think it's worth repeating.
And what it tells me, Jay, is the people that have looked at the intelligence regarding national security, all the way from the CIA director, all the way down to mid-level, they are not comfortable with this president's foreign policy or his national security plan. And, Jay, I think a bunch of them want to simply be on record, because when these attacks continue, they want to be on record having tried to correct the course of the president. More and more, they're just not in step with him, and I think they're right.
I will tell you this, folks, when we come back from the break, I'm going to play you some sound from John Brennan, some sound from the President of the United States. You talk about a disagreement. You got the President saying one thing and the CIA director saying exactly the opposite. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Take your comments as well.
That's right. You can join us right now on Facebook or on Periscope. Facebook.com/JaySekulow. ACLJ.org. Periscope, just search for Jay Sekulow. You can find us there broadcasting. You can talk to us during the breaks. Hear the show, still studio quality audio, multi-camera shoot video, and get exclusive video content here first on our Facebook feed at facebook.com/jsekulow.
Let me also encourage you to sign our petition that is up right now, Protect America, Defeat and Destroy ISIS. It's at aclj.org. So just go over to aclj.org and sign that petition now. We're almost at 90,000 with phone calls, so we're getting close to 100,000. So aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. Back for more.
It's the deadliest attack on U.S. soil since 9/11. A shooter who pledged his allegiance to the Islamic State opened fire at a nightclub in Orlando, murdering dozens of people. ISIS claimed responsibility for this horrific massacre. Orlando is the latest target in a series of radical jihadist attacks. There have been many others, Fort Hood in San Bernardino to name a few. ISIS has declared war on America. President Obama has it wrong. ISIS isn't on the run. ISIS is on the rise. How many more Americans must be slaughtered before we declare war on radical Islam and stop treating these deadly attacks as isolated acts of violence? ISIS is at war with America, yet President Obama refuses to acknowledge that threat. Sign on to our petition to defeat and destroy ISIS. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
The big news of today is 51 members of the State Department signed a letter saying that our policy and approach in Syria is not working, is fundamentally flawed. This comes on the heels of John Brennan, the CIA director, yesterday saying that ISIL is not, as he calls it, I call it ISIS, is not under control. But I thought it'd be important. Let me first play President Obama's statement about ISIS. This is very important for you to understand the way the president is putting this forward.
ISIL is on defense. ISIL's ranks are shrinking as well. Their morale is sinking. As one defector said, ISIL is not bringing Islam to the world, and people need to know that.
Okay, so there's the president of the United States. Now, John Brennan, the director of the CIA, was testified yesterday on Capitol Hill. The exact opposite. Listen.
Unfortunately, despite all our progress against ISIL on the battlefield and in the financial realm, our efforts have not reduced the group's terrorism capability and global reach. The resources needed for terrorism are very modest, and the group would have to suffer even heavier losses on territory, manpower, and money for its terrorist capacity to decline significantly.
Well, there you have it. And then he follows it up with this statement, which I'll play a little bit later, where he talks about the foreign branches and global networks can preserve its capacity even if there is loss of territory. Here's the problem. Who's right? And I think it's John Brennan. We're going to go right to phone calls, get you right in the conversation early on this Friday. Let's go ahead, Logan.
Yep, let's continue on again. 1-800-684 to get your voice on the air. Let's go to Mary, who's calling from Waverly, Tennessee.
Hi, Mary.
Hi. Hi. Assad is fighting the same enemy you and I are. He is fighting Sunni fundamentalists, and ISIS and the Sunni fundamentalists in Syria want to take down Assad. So right. We need to work with Assad to defeat ISIS.
Well, that's easy to say and hard to do, is the fact of the matter. And I'm going to let Jordan comment on this as well, because he studied this area extensively, as I have. In fact, I'm going to be looking at this in more in-depth this summer in Oxford. But the fact of the matter is the situation in Syria is not stable. We do not know, by the way, who would be coming up behind Assad. At this point, I would say that there is a chance that it could be ISIS, certainly ISIS-influenced. But this is the great conundrum. But the State Department is saying, the officials in the State Department, is that Assad's got to go. But, I understand that. I understand their frustration. They expect something very bad to happen, Jordan.
Yeah, I think what they're saying is that there should be enough of an air campaign waged against the Assad regime that they are forced into a ceasefire situation that may see Assad stepping down from power, but ultimately someone from that regime who maybe doesn't have the same kind of connections and is not the same kind of background that would be assumed to be the same kind of dictatorship, if you will, from the Syrians. They're not saying that this would even cause complete peace, but that it would stop the ongoing civil war, so they could be then a focus on eliminating ISIS. Yep. And then moving on. But that has been the top concern of, you know, let's say you topple the Assad regime right now and you don't want to get involved in nation building, then what happens next? And the next group in Syria is very radical.
What is the sense right now, Than, quickly in Washington as it relates to this whole, both the response from the State Department personnel writing that letter, but also kind of more generally? You got Senator Lindsey Graham was on our broadcast yesterday. He said President Obama is to blame for the rise of ISIS. And I tend to agree with that position. What's kind of the reaction right now in D.C. with all of this going on?
You know, Jay, I think that's increasingly the sense even within the administration. And I think this memo from the State Department illustrates this point. I mean, Jordan points out that there's no easy answer here. And I think that's true. But I think what you see inside the State Department and with members of Congress who have the intelligence and are looking at the ISIS decision is that there's no strategy at all. I mean, the president has not landed on a strategy to defeat the threat, whether it's something in Syria, whether it's ISIS specifically. And more you are seeing both members of Congress and members of his own administration run away from it because as it continues to fall apart, none of them want to be held accountable. Ultimately, the president doesn't have a strategy here, Jay.
That lack of strategy, by the way, is having serious repercussions for the region. I was on the call with the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations just day before yesterday. And let me tell you, it's very serious stuff. This is serious. It's having serious repercussions. We're taking more of your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. Logan, we got a comment.
Yeah, lots of comments come in. This from Sharon. She said this administration has never taken responsibility. It's always been someone else's fault, and the establishment wonders why we're so angry. And this is a lot of the rhetoric that's going on right now. You know, this has, the president has his own agendas, not here to protect us. Yep. That's from Sherry. A lot, just comments like that.
I feel
like
high frustration level.
Frustration and general nerves, you know, it seems like the threat has gotten so much more significant under this administration, especially the last couple of years. I think people are genuinely, you know, scared is the wrong word, but definitely concerned.
Well, let me play for you John Brennan. This is number 25, because this kind of sums up the comments that have been coming in. So we're able to kind of lay out your concerns here with also the evidence as it's mounting. John Brennan, number 25.
Moreover, the group's foreign branches and global networks can help preserve its capacity for terrorism, regardless of events in Iraq and Syria. In fact, as the pressure mounts on ISIL, we judge that it will intensify its global terror campaign to maintain its dominance of the global terrorism agenda.
This is not a positive outlook. Let me be blunt here. This is a realistic assessment from our head of the CIA, and I think we have to take this seriously. We've got to understand the nature of what the threat is and understand that what we're doing is not working. And when it's fundamentally not working, you've got to shift. Now, that cuts against the president's narrative. But this is, I think, a very, very significant and serious problem, and that's why you're seeing these responses. This is what's happening. Lindsey Graham spoke out on this again. Who is he blaming for this? Very clearly, President Obama, number 33.
Barack Obama is to blame for the rise of ISIL. He has dismantled the ability to defend this country. We no longer interrogate terrorist suspects. We read them their rights and put them in federal court. We're going to have less FBI agents in 2017 than we did in 2013. In that regard, I blame President Obama.
And Lindsey Graham was on our broadcast yesterday. All right, Logan, let's take some more calls. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110.
Yeah, Robert's calling from Maryland on line 3. You're on the air.
Hey, Robert.
Yeah, hi, Logan. Hi, Jay. Yes, I wanted to ask a question and also make a comment. First, the question is, what is the revolt all about in the State Department in reference to the Obama administration's strategy in Syria? And the comment I have to make is about the statement that the president made in the aftermath of the terrorist attack in Orlando, Florida, at that nightclub, where he said that he doesn't understand, basically, by calling the enemy radical Islam or jihadist terrorism is a strategy or going to make anything better. And my comment to that is you have to call the enemy for what they are. You have to name and specifically identify the enemy in order to fight them, and you have to understand their ideology. We did that with the Nazis, the Japanese, and the Italians in World War II. We did that with the North Koreans in the Korean War. That was communism. We did that with the North Vietnamese and the Viet Cong. That was communism in Vietnam. Yep. And we did it with other ideologies. Why such the reluctance on the president's part to name the enemy and the ideology that drives them here?
Let me play for you what he said first. I think this will be good for everybody, number 10.
There's no magic to the phrase radical Islam. It's a political talking point. It's not a strategy. And the reason I am careful about how I describe this threat has nothing to do with political correctness and everything to do with actually defeating extremism.
So don't name your enemy is what, I mean, that's what the president is arguing. Don't name your enemy. Now, in relation to the 50, more than 50 diplomats urged airstrikes and stepped up action against the Assad regime. Jordan, this is coming from within the agency itself, and Robert raises a very important question. You know, what motivated these individuals to do that? We talked a little bit about that during the breaks, but I think for our entire radio audience, this would be good to know. There is a concern deep within the State Department, including career officials, that this policy in Syria is failing, that it's going to cause more instability in the region. That's what's going on here.
Yeah, I mean, now this is a process that has existed since the Vietnam War for State Department officials to voice concern internally. And I put that, you know, in quotes with a big asterisk because these are ultimately typically released. They don't always get this much attention because there's not always this many individuals willing to put their name to this. This is not unnamed people. Now, it's not necessarily the voices that you see on TV every day, but these are career diplomats. There's over 50 on this. That's why it's getting the attention. And they realize that this is at a point now where they feel like they must raise their voices, that the policy, kind of what we even saw from John Brennan yesterday on Capitol Hill, that they've got to be honest in their assessment, that they are not just going to toe the line of the administration.
Dan, really quick, what's the fallout on this in within the Hill right now? Because this is very, it comes, like you said, on the heels of John Brennan. So you got the statement from the CIA head and then these 50 career diplomats.
It's significant, Jay, because it's 51 individuals who, quite frankly, are risking being cut out of this conversation altogether because of disagreement with their superiors. I mean, the language in this, it says that American policy has been overwhelmed by unrelenting violence. So you can agree or disagree with their proposed strategy, but the fallout on the Hill is that even within the State Department, there is rampant concern that this foreign policy has fallen apart.
All right, we're going to be taking a break. When we come back, more of your calls. And we may have a comment. I don't know if you got time to read another comment, Logan, but if not, we want to take people's
calls. Yeah, we do have a quick comment that someone maybe could slightly oppose. That doesn't it seem also that we need to remember that the Republican majority Congress maybe has done nothing to stop all of this?
We are actually going to talk about that when we come back from the break. So that's a good question and a good comment. And we're talking about a time for a serious bipartisan discussion of the administration's anti-terror campaign. We think that has to be bipartisan, so we don't. This may not be so opposed. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. I want you to sign that petition to go after ISIS at aclj.org. And Logan's going to, again, let you know you can participate with comments on Facebook and Periscope. You can even listen to your radio station. Still not lying on to Facebook and Periscope.
You can get your comments in either way. But, yeah, you can join us or just during the breaks, facebook.com/jseculo. Be a part of that broadcast there, aclj.org. You can also get your comments in Periscope. We take some of those during the breaks. The easiest way is just to give us a call right now, 1-800-684-3110.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's the deadliest attack on U.S. soil since 9/11. A shooter who pledged his allegiance to the Islamic State opened fire at a nightclub in Orlando, murdering dozens of people. ISIS claimed responsibility for this horrific massacre. Orlando is the latest target in a series of radical jihadist attacks. There have been many others, Fort Hood in San Bernardino to name a few. ISIS has declared war on America. President Obama has it wrong. ISIS isn't on the run. ISIS is on the rise. How many more Americans must be slaughtered before we declare war on radical Islam and stop treating these deadly attacks as isolated acts of violence? ISIS is at war with America, yet President Obama refuses to acknowledge that threat. Sign on to our petition to defeat and destroy ISIS. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online aclj.org.
Again, a very interesting comment right before the break Logan mentioned, and that was that someone said, are the Republicans partly to blame for, what was it exactly?
Yeah, I can find out the exact, we have so many comments coming in, so it's hard to pull the exact one. Here it is.
Yeah.
This is Marie. We also don't remember that we have a do of a Republican majority Congress who has done nothing, absolutely nothing, to stop this administration.
So, you know, that Jordan, you got this high frustration level here, and it's palpable, and people are understanding that there is blame all the way around.
Yeah, that's right. And ultimately, I mean, listen, when you have a situation where the president is in control of the executive branch, setting the tone, the Republicans in Congress, they can fight on issues, and they certainly have. But ultimately, a lot of this is done through executive action. And this president's not been afraid to do that.
Right.
They set the tone. They set policies from the top. We always say elections have consequences, and I think we're starting to see the full-on fruits of this as we've had a long conflict in Syria and Iraq, some just indecisiveness from this administration when it comes to policy, and the fruits of that are now at home in the U.S. with these terror attacks.
Dan, you also raised a point that I'm going to get Professor Hutchison in the conversation here, but you raised the point also that some of the things that even are coming out for some of the Republicans on this are not particularly helpful.
Yeah, two very brief things, Jay. I mean, they have proposed this week in response to these attacks that the DHS training that we've talked so much about, that be extended to local levels. And, you know, in a generic sense, of course it's good to share information and training with a local sense. But that training is deeply flawed, and we've pointed that out time and time again. It points away from the real threat. So they need to fix that training before they extend that to the local levels. We've been very critical this week on the Hill of Republicans for making that proposal.
All right, so we're bipartisan offended here. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Professor Hutchison has a piece up that is on aclj.org right now called Time for a Serious Bipartisan Discussion of the Administration's Anti-Terror Campaign. This comes right after that comment that Logan just read about the Republicans responsible to. Harry, let's talk about what this is. You raised the question, the crucial question, why hasn't the U.S. already unleashed a relentless international campaign to cripple ISIS? I mean, John Brennan's saying we better, because the problems, if we don't, are going to be even more dramatic.
Well, I think there is a deep conflict within the administration itself. But it's crystal clear that the president is setting the course of action for the administration. And he continues to believe that ISIS is shrinking, that their size, their influence, and perhaps even the violence is shrinking, notwithstanding the evidence that everyone can see on the ground, both in the Middle East, in Libya, in Pakistan, in Syria, and in the United States. And so I think at the end of the day, the blame has to go to the president. But I think we also should broaden the discussion out.
Right.
In other words, have Republicans, have either of the presumptive nominees offered in-depth, common sense approaches that appeal to all Americans, irrespective of their political affiliation. If we're in a war, we need everyone on board to fight it effectively.
All right. So, Jordan, this is Harry brings up a point here that's something you've said, and that is we've got to get past the soundbite. We're past that stage, and this is the serious part of the political campaigns now. And concrete, real responses, not soundbites, are what's necessary.
Yeah, it's not just the tone. I mean, if the election, if kind of, I'd say the primaries, it was to who, you know, whose messaging appeals more to base voters. Now it's about the middle of the road folks who may not have been as involved in the primary process. They vote in presidential elections, general elections.
Right.
They're looking for what is distinguishing the two candidates, not necessarily in just tone. I think that's pretty clear, but in what they will do. And I think that saying, I will appoint people like this is not going to be enough. People want more specifics. And then with Hillary Clinton, it just seems like it's a continuation of the Obama administration. So I think she'll have to explain as well. How do you handle ISIS directly? How would you approach this situation in Syria when you are commander in chief? Ultimately, would there be an increased campaign of military action, a larger coalition, more pressure at the United Nations, all of that? We need to hear it from both candidates.
All right, let's take a phone call here.
All right, let's go to line one. Jesse is calling from Arlington, Texas.
Hi, Jesse.
Hey, great show, guys.
Thanks.
All I had was a comment, Jay.
Okay.
I think it's great that these 51 individuals have enough gumption to tell the American people the truth about what's going on here and speak the truth, because we need to know the truth about what's going on and what dangers we're under. And
Yeah, I don't think this was an accident, Harry, that yesterday we had John Brennan and then last night we had the 51 members of the State Department saying this is not working. So you raised the question in this piece that's up at ACLJ.org right now that says that basically the president's not listening to his own advisors and has got this own narrative in his head and he's playing that narrative out even though the facts are completely contrary.
I think that's right, and I think these individuals are ultimately concerned about their own legacy within the department and their legacy going forward. These types of statements coming from the State Department and from the CIA director are designed, I think, to protect their own reputation. And it seems clear to me that the president has been getting some fairly good, fairly diverse advice, but he hasn't been listening.
Won't pivot. He won't pivot to that advice. I mean, that's the fundamental problem. I mean, John Brennan couldn't have been more direct than he was. You laid out 3 points here. First, Americans should ask whether the Obama administration's policies and decisions have compromised FBI efforts. Apparently, they have. I mean, the empirical data is starting to look like that.
Absolutely. And I think what the FBI has done is it's listened to, I think, the Justice Department. It's listened to the Department of Homeland Security. In some respects, it's scrubbed its own investigation. And by doing so, it's hampered its ability to protect the homeland. There was a report yesterday suggesting that a gun dealer had directly contacted the FBI concerning the gunman in Orlando. And notwithstanding that contact, apparently the FBI was either unable or unwilling to do anything about it.
All right,
that's a problem.
Yeah, you also raised the point about when we talked about this yesterday on the broadcast, about the FBI asking for citizens to report, but then the question is kind of what you just said, whether they're going to do anything. Third thing you say is, does the FBI need more resources? Than really quick on that point that Harry raises in this thing. Did Comey ask for more resources?
He didn't. Jay, I would suspect that he probably needs them, but I would also say this. You could throw all the money in the world at it, but if you're not willing to act on actionable information, more resources alone is not going to solve the problem.
All right, last thing, and then we're going to a break here. Harry says Secretary of State John Kerry recently acknowledged that some terrorists are radicalized for reasons of religion. Let's kind of feather that out. Do you think that the dialogue at the level, you talk about this, that we have to understand that this is, in a sense, I hate to say it this way, a religious war?
I think absolutely. And I think Secretary Kerry deserves some credit for at least pointing out that possibility.
Yeah.
And his willingness to point that out clearly distinguishes him, I think, from the President of the United States, who seems unwilling to go even that far.
All right, well, that's going to do it. Harry Hutchins got a piece up at ACLJ.org. Time for serious bipartisan discussions of the administration's anti-terror campaign. We urge you to get it, and we've got 30 more minutes of the program, Logan.
That's right. If your network doesn't carry the next 30 minutes of the show, it does if you're on SiriusXM or a number of stations and not carry the full hour. But if it doesn't, or if you want a different way to do it, log on over to Facebook.com/JSeculo to interact, be part of the discussion, get your comments in to me, or to Periscope, search for JSeculo, ACLJ.org, or if this is where your day ends with us, you can always catch the second half hour of the show later on, archived on the Jay Sekulow Live podcast, on iTunes, on Stitcher, however you get your podcasts, also on the ACLJ app on Apple devices and Roku, now available. That includes Apple TV. You can watch the show there each day.
It's the deadliest attack on U.S. soil since 9/11. ISIS has declared war on America. President Obama has it wrong. ISIS isn't on the run. ISIS is on the rise. Yet President Obama refuses to acknowledge that threat. Sign on to our petition to defeat and destroy ISIS. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Democrat.
Hey, welcome to this 30 minutes of Jay Sekulow Live, folks. Thanks for joining us again. Let me tell you this. 51 State Department employees say, you know what, the policies of the president as it relates to Syria are not working. This comes on the heels of John Brennan, the director of the CIA, saying, guess what? ISIS is growing. They're not shrinking. After the president says they're shrinking, they're not exporting their radical jihad, which, of course, we saw in Orlando they are. The CIA director comes out with a completely contrary position. So you've got this huge conflict developing right now, folks, and we're pointing out the evidence of this. We're playing the sound on this. I will tell you this. Let's play soundbite number 27. This talks about the gradual cultivating of a global network. So the president says, oh, no, they're not growing. Then John Brennan, his director of the CIA, says this.
ISIL is gradually cultivating its global network of branches into a more interconnected global organization. The branch in Libya is probably the most developed and the most dangerous. We assess that it is trying to increase its influence in Africa and to plot attacks in the region and in Europe.
And no one is hardly talking about ISIS in Libya, Jordan. It's not even being mentioned.
No, I mean, it's always just kind of said in passing, yeah. You know, ISIS in North Africa, that's also an issue we have to face. But to hear it from John Brennan directly like that, that's where they are most organized, that they are basically, again, using Libya and the problems there with what's happened after the fall of the Gaddafi government is they're using that as their safe haven to be able to organize and launch attacks both in the region and outside that region. It's actually, you know, on the ground, as difficult a place as Libya is, it's a much safer place for anyone to operate like this than Syria or Iraq right now.
So, Than, quickly, and then we're going to take a call, Logan. Than, so the reaction to all of this, this kind of cumulative effect of John Brennan one day, that night, 51 State Department employees saying this isn't working and expressing their concern. What's your sense of the reaction on the Hill with the members of the House and Senate?
I think overwhelming frustration, actually, on both sides of the aisle. Jay, just quickly, in the last segment, Harry mentioned the fact that the gun store that refused to sell ammunition to Omar Mateen also called the FBI. Well, they also reported that he made a phone call from the store in Arabic, and that is part of what concerned them. That was reported to the FBI.
And they didn't do anything.
And I think members of Congress are now asking the FBI, why in the world would you let the president come out and call this a lone wolf attack if you know he had associations in Arabic? That alone should have been enough to raise the level of suspicion to another level.
Here is the gun owner. This is his comment.
Our intuition was correct, and it's very sad that we had him that close. He was that close that law enforcement could have got their hands on. We couldn't do more. And here's a prime example of trying to do the right thing, and we got so close to it. But unfortunately, he slipped through the cracks.
Yeah, there you have it. That's as a direct quote as you can get. Logan, next.
Yeah, this came from Janice. I know people who think homegrown ISIS followers are not terrorist activity, so we're making too much of this. But how do we open the eyes to people?
All right, so let's talk. That's a great question. So let's talk about this homegrown issue. So what does homegrown mean? It means that they lived in the United States or that they were U.S. citizens. They're not homegrown in the sense that the influence is coming outside of the United States. Now, there's plenty of influence here in these radical mosques. So in that sense, it's homegrown. But it's coming from an ideology that is not from the West. So let's be really clear on this. This is an ideology that's not originating in the United States of America. This is an ideology that is originating within an element of Islam, and it's a jihadist worldview. So this homegrown thing, we need to get out of the lexicon, in my view. The administration likes using homegrown because they think it's like domestic terror. They like using the phrase domestic terror, but that's not what this is about. This is ISIS, and John Brennan laid it out as clear as anybody possibly could have, and we need to heed the warning of our director of the Central Intelligence Agency. I personally don't think it's that complicated. Listen to the CIA director. When we come back from the break, more phone calls.
That's right. Give us a call right now. We have a line open, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be taking lots of calls throughout the next half hour of the show. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Or again, join us on all social media outlets, Facebook, Periscope, or tweet us a comment if you haven't.
Let me say this. Some folks said, I got contact from some friends yesterday saying that we're listening to you over our local station, but we also tune into Facebook so we can watch the comments. Perfectly fine to do it. You could watch it, listen, hear it, see it, however you want to do it. So the radio stations are great. You want to get the comments in, you can keep your radio station on, go right to Facebook. That works too. So again, as Logan just said, ACLJ.org for that. And again, if you want to go to Facebook, Facebook.com/JaySekulow. Back with more in a moment.
It's the deadliest attack on U.S. soil since 9/11. A shooter who pledged his allegiance to the Islamic State opened fire at a nightclub in Orlando, murdering dozens of people. ISIS claimed responsibility for this horrific massacre. Orlando is the latest target in a series of radical jihadist attacks. There have been many others, Fort Hood in San Bernardino to name a few. ISIS has declared war on America. President Obama has it wrong. ISIS isn't on the run. ISIS is on the rise. How many more Americans must be slaughtered before we declare war on radical Islam and stop treating these deadly attacks as isolated acts of violence? ISIS is at war with America, yet President Obama refuses to acknowledge that threat. Sign on to our petition to defeat and destroy ISIS. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We got a lot of calls coming in. There's a lot of concern, a lot of consternation going on right now within our intelligence community. You heard that from John Brennan. You're hearing the same. You got 51 members of the State Department saying we're concerned as well. And this is a serious problem in Washington right now. I think it's a significant one. We've got a lot of calls coming in, so we're going to try to get to them as quick as we can. Logan, who do we have next, or a comment you want to read?
All right, let's go ahead and take a phone call. Let's go to Greg. He's been holding a half an hour. You're on the air.
Greg, we're sending you a signed copy of Rise of ISIS. Go ahead.
Hi, Jay. Hey. Yeah, with friends like Barack Obama, America doesn't need any enemies. This man has let hundreds of thousands of these Syrian refugees, fighters between the age of 18 to 25, into this country. They're scattered all over the country. You get reports locally about these people. The mainstream media does not cover it.
Well, you know, let me jump in here, Greg, because you raised something that I think has a lot of people concerned, including our CIA director. And that is something we've said from the beginning, which is, like, and you mentioned it, is the age of the people coming in. It's happened in Europe. It's happening here as well in the United States. But you've now got this situation with this refugee flow, and the CIA director is saying this is a source upon which ISIS agents can get into the United States. Let's take a listen.
ISIL has a large cadre of Western fighters who could potentially serve as operatives for attacks in the West. And the group is probably exploring a variety of means for infiltrating operatives into the West, including in refugee flows, smuggling routes, and legitimate methods of travel.
So this is, Jordan and Than, this is something we are trying to address head on because this is a serious problem. I want to go to Jordan first, then Than. But Than, we need to get concrete action on this. Jordan first.
And these are reports, you know, that talk about the number of refugees resettled in the United States. It's looking like close to a million Muslims have come to the United States under the Obama presidency. And very few Christians. So we talk about the Christian persecution. I mean, it's just few. I mean, they're statistically barely existent. But we have to understand that even though there's a lot of back and forth on the rhetoric to be used and banning these kind of people and building walls, what did we hear from our CIA director? We heard about this specifically, refugee flows. That's been a big debate here in the United States. Smuggling routes, that includes our border, the kind of things that drug cartels use. And then regular travel as well. I think that, you could say, involves even these Americans who are involved, who are taking foreign trips, and we're finding out later, you know, that these should have raised suspicion on their own because it would have been unlikely to make trips like this.
Yeah, so this is something, Van, we've said since the outset, this whole issue about refugee flow. We said it was a problem in Europe. We showed the migration patterns in the past. But let's take it a step further here, because I think this is significant. And that is this refugee flow issue. You've got the CIA director and James Comey, also the FBI director, saying this is problematic.
Yeah, put these three pieces together. You've got the CIA saying that ISIS is going to use this channel. You have the FBI saying if they use that channel, we can't vet them. We don't have the capabilities to. And then the third piece is the president expanding the flow of refugees anyway. Jay, we have had a proposal on the table for months that deals with this problem. It says you have to pause the refugees from this region. And in doing so, you don't abandon them. You create in-region safe zones, which the United States can do in conjunction with the United Nations to provide them safe harbor. It solves both ends of the problem, it really, in the very short term. And it can extend in the long term if it has to. But in the meantime, the president refuses to go along.
And this is a specific policy proposal that we put forward at the ACLJ that we've sent to Congress. We think that is what solves this problem, or at least goes a long way into dealing with it, and that is the in-country aid, significant in-country aid, but not the relocation. And this is something we've said. There are safe zones available there. This is what needs to be the policy. We've set forth, again, we don't just talk about it on the broadcast. We're taking action on it. So that's something we're going to push forward next week. By the way, you're talking about next week, our ACLJ and ECLJ, European Center for Law and Justice lawyers, will be at the UN fighting for Christians subject to persecution. That issue is going on right now. And we're also defending young girls that have been taken into sex slavery or sold as brides in Kenya. We're presenting that at the UN. We're in court on that in Kenya. We've been successful. We're now taking it to the United Nations. So a big week at the UN for the ACLJ and our affiliates, and we'll be talking more about that on Monday's broadcast. Logan, let's take another call or comment.
All right, moving on. Sam is calling from Greensboro, North Carolina. You're on the air.
Hi, Sam.
Hi. I mentioned earlier that the president's effectiveness in dismantling our intelligence community and the military advisors who would offer solutions in his policy in general can only lead me to conclude that he's sympathizing with the wrong cause.
Well, I think this president has a worldview and a narrative that is very different from ours. He thought that by wooing the Muslim world, he was going to somehow solve the problem. And Jordan, 8 years of it has not, I mean, 7.5 years of it, it's just not worked.
No, the idea, you know, you apologize for the American foreign policy, and, you know, he started off his administration that way. What have we seen? A ramp up of terrorist activity in the Western world, both here in our country, in Western Europe, and, of course, the violence ongoing in the Middle East. I mean, there's these attacks and bombings and suicide attacks every single day, inflicting huge tolls, killing lots of civilians. And so the idea that you can apologize your way to change in foreign policy or the way people view you has just proven to be absolutely incorrect. But there's no sign from this administration that they're shifting their policy in these final few months of his term.
And, Than, quickly, we're talking about running out the term here. I mean, the term's over with, and we're talking months. But a lot of damage can be done during this period of time. There's no doubt about that.
Well, I think the evidence of that is 51 people at the State Department that are willing, maybe not to put their careers on the line, but certainly their effectiveness for the next several months. Remember, these are people, Jay, who dedicated their careers to this issue. And by putting their name on this piece of paper, they will in all likelihood be cut out of those discussions over the last 7 months. So I think they see it as such a serious charge that they really need to take a step back in order to try to correct it.
I think this is exactly why also John Brennan made that specific speech he made or talk he gave yesterday, testimony before the United States Congress. I think this was calculated. I don't mean that in a bad way, but they want to get their positions out there clearly.
This is a comment that came in, interesting comment from Andy. Said, can the victims of the Orlando shooting or have their families, can they do anything about this? Can they, you know, essentially sue the federal government for not stopping this attack when there was clear evidence that something was happening?
Very tough because of sovereign immunity. So it's very difficult to bring a legal action against the federal government for an activity like this. So you don't have a negligence action per se. So very, very tough to do that. That's not going to get this rectified.
All right,
as much as I'm so sorry for those families.
All right, let's go to Arnold line six.
Hi, Arnold.
Hey, Jay. Thank you so much. You guys are doing yeoman's work, and I appreciate what you said about the homegrown terrorists. I like what you said, because that needs to be said a lot more. You know, I have to look at this president. I worked with both President Carter and President Reagan. God bless that, President Reagan. And nowadays, we're seeing a president that doesn't apologize for anybody in the United States, but he apologizes to everybody else overseas. He takes no responsibility. He's always blaming somebody else for the problems that are coming up. And on top of that, somebody needs to connect the dots here. We just heard from the CIA director making comments last night, have been 50 to diplomats in the State Department,
yep.
as well as the Defense Intelligence Community,
You're
the
right.
Intel Community, FBI. Everybody's been speaking up saying something's wrong here. He's not supporting us. There are policies he's implementing that is destroying our ability to protect the U.S. citizen. And these, I mean, every almost every branch of his administration is beginning to speak out about what he's doing.
There is no doubt that this was not coincidental. When you had the State Department issue their letter last night after John Brennan spoke to this to the Congress that afternoon, that's not a coincidence.
I think all of the president's advisors on the national security front, Jay, are realizing the flaw in his foreign policy. And I would add one more thing. The owner of that gun store as well, when he can do a yep. better job ascertaining a threat like this than the FBI can, it's a big problem. But we know why that is. He saw that conversation on the phone in Arabic as suspicious. And guess what? The FBI is not allowed to view that conversation as suspicious.
And we reported the other day that Disney said they thought the couple was suspicious and that they reported to the FBI.
Yeah, local news outlets and now some national news outlets saying their sources indicate that Disney back in April notified that they had seen or been, they essentially had caught Omar Mateen. Casing is the word they use.
Yeah.
The Disney shopping districts and even some of the parks, but really the shopping districts in Disney and notified the FBI. Again, that's all from sources, local sources. Disney has not come out and said that, but people who have heard that have said that.
But so Jordan, at the end of the day, we know, and we'll summon up the week here, we've had a catastrophic failure of intelligence, no doubt about that. But there has to be a way forward, and that is we've got to learn from this and take concrete action.
Yeah, we do. We have to understand that these individuals have been located. They have been people figured out the problems, and they've contacted law enforcement. So when it comes to Omar Mateen, you had the FBI contacted about a month ago by another gun store.
Yep.
And then a few years ago, you had coworkers contacting law enforcement, all because of issues they had with him differently. So one, it was coworkers, people that were more familiar with him. One was a store where his behavior was concerning enough for them to pick up the phone and call the FBI.
I mean, this is a serious, serious problem. Folks, we're going to do a big round when we come back with your calls and questions. And again, Logan, if people want to get in the comments, lines are jammed right now, but comments can be taken.
Yeah, lines are slammed right now, but we'll do our best to get as many as possible. Yeah, you can give us a call when they do open up, 1-800-684-3110. Or obviously, log in, get your comments. No lines are get full over on Facebook, facebook.com/jsecula. Always taking comments over there.
We'll be back with more, including your calls, in just a moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's the deadliest attack on U.S. soil since 9/11. A shooter who pledged his allegiance to the Islamic State opened fire at a nightclub in Orlando, murdering dozens of people. ISIS claimed responsibility for this horrific massacre. Orlando is the latest target in a series of radical jihadist attacks. There have been many others, Fort Hood in San Bernardino to name a few. ISIS has declared war on America. President Obama has it wrong. ISIS isn't on the run. ISIS is on the rise. How many more Americans must be slaughtered before we declare war on radical Islam and stop treating these deadly attacks as isolated acts of violence? ISIS is at war with America, yet President Obama refuses to acknowledge that threat. Sign on to our petition to defeat and destroy ISIS. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We're going to take as many calls as we can in this segment, as we always do. Let's go ahead and go right to those phone calls.
Yep, let's move on. So many calls. Let's go to, just go in order. Let's go to Bernard, who's been hold for the longest in Philly. You're on the air.
Hey, Bernard.
Hey, Jay.
Yes, sir.
Just wanted to say, you know, I really don't understand what's going on, because if this would have been 1941 or 1938, we would have already been building up our army,
yep,
trying to get things together to get ready to move on these guys. So how many more people got to die before, you know, we finally say this is all out war?
Yeah, well, listen, this is exactly what we've said in our five-point plan, and we think there needs to be a declaration of war, and I think we need to, as we've said in our plan, we need to increase the military engagement capability to knock this out. Now, Than, how's that being received right now in Washington in light of all of this?
Well, it's controversial for this reason. The president hasn't determined that his mission is to wipe ISIS out.
Right.
And listen, there's going to be a hesitancy to engage the military until that strategy is in place. We've been very clear. That's the first step. The president has to decide that he wants to defeat the threat, and Congress should force his hand by declaring the war.
And I think part of the problem here, Jordan, is the president's reluctancy. Of course, now we're in the last part of his administration. So the reality is, and I think we just got to be clear, it is not likely that he's going to increase the engagement, not when he's got 6 months left.
No, it's not. And they've stuck with these strategies, with the criticism, with pressure, both internally. Now we know at the, you know, places like the State Department, where you've got your own career diplomats coming out being very critical. So you can understand that behind the scenes, they've likely faced a lot of criticism from the intelligence community, from the diplomatic community, from the military community. And yet they have not changed the strategy. They've basically done the minimum,
yep,
to say that we are doing something. But ultimately, what we're hearing from all of these reports is that we're not doing enough, that ISIS, a terror threat to the world, is continuing to grow.
Yep.
It's continuing to increase. And the first job of the president is really to keep us safe. And when you hear that from the CIA director, and this is not something brand new, this is a threat that's been there for a few years, and we're not doing more to combat it.
All right, more of your phone calls at 800-684-3110. Logan, who's next?
Let's go to Bill in Atlanta.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, I just want to say I'm not a really intelligent person, but one of the things that just bothers me the most is why is Obama doing this? You know, he gets all this information from all of the most intellectual people anywhere around, and everywhere is coming into him, and yet he's ignoring it.
Yeah, he's ignoring it because his narrative that he's tried to play out over the last 8 years has not worked out. That was, he was going to appease the Muslim world, and that was going to result in more stability in the region. It is less stability in the region and less stability globally. So he is not listening to his advisors, and that's, we're paying the consequence of that.
All right, moving on. Lots of calls again. Joel's calling in Augusta, Georgia.
Hey, Joel.
Hey, Jay. I'm just wondering, I didn't live through this era, but how similar is this administration compared to, like, how Jimmy Carter did to the Middle East? And do you think peace in the Middle East is even possible at this point?
Well, it's different because the lethality is much more dangerous than it was then. You don't have a clear ally base that is basically together. We've got a new map in the Middle East. You've got the Israelis, the Egyptians, the Jordanians, even the Saudis working together, but the United States, nobody knows what we're going to do, so Russia's back in the region, and that creates an unholy alliance. You got this Russia-Syria-Iran thing going right now. So there are, it's a different scenario, it's a different problem. The fact of the matter is, our enemies, Jordan, do not know if they can trust us, and that sends a wrong signal.
Yeah, talking about the fact that our allies are not sure of what moves we're going
right
to make. And I think one difference between Carter and Obama is 4 years versus eight. You know, a lot more can go wrong,
yep,
and a lot, things can get much worse. We have not had the correction in foreign policy. We haven't had a correction in how we're looking at,
yep,
to combat this. And that's, I think, the biggest concern.
Sure.
Now, we saw after Carter, we saw a significant change in how to combat,
yep,
threats. And there was a time when things were significantly changing. We likely need that. It doesn't sound like Hillary Clinton is providing that. She's happy to continue on with most of the Obama administration policies. At least that's how it sounds so far, hitting the campaign trail with President Obama, serving as a Secretary of State. And for Donald Trump, we hear that there will be a lot of changes. We just aren't sure exactly what that will mean.
Yeah, and Than, you point out very, I think this is really important, we didn't have a tax on the homeland. during Jimmy Carter's reign.
Yeah, big difference. I mean, 15 years after 9/11, Jay, ISIS, Middle East influenced forces are killing people on American soil, not once, not twice, but repeatedly. And in Orlando, it was 50 people. That is a big difference from the threat we faced during the Carter administration.
Yep.
All right. Should we move on?
Yes.
Marlon in Michigan. You're on the air.
Hi, Marlon.
Hi, Jay. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just think that the president, he seems anti-American in his policies. Just like you said, with the not vetting of the refugees coming in, just with the shrinking of the military, just with all this information that you all have given us these last couple of days with the CIA, the director, I think he'll continue on in his direction.
Yes, I think you're right.
But I just don't think that he is, it just doesn't seem like our best interest is at
And he's not going to make a pivot. I mean, Marion, he's not making a pivot between now and the end of his term. So what we've got to do here is we can't just sit idly by while all this is going on, and then that's where Congress comes into play.
We're going to need a new commander-in-chief to conduct this war, Jay, but the Congress has the authority to declare it. And if they were to declare it now, it would give the next commander-in-chief not only a head start in this effort, but actually an obligation to defeat and destroy ISIS.
You know, Will points out an interesting point here, and that is he's got this global community view, which he promotes as kind of globalist mindset. And that seems to be priority one. And the United States, as America first, seems to be way down that list. But I think, look, I think the president really believes this. I think the policy is ridiculous, but I think he believes it. All right, let's try to grab two calls in 2 minutes. I think we can do it.
All right, Julie in Santa Monica.
Yep, Julie, go ahead.
Hi. I completely agree with John McCain that I think President Obama is responsible for all the damage that ISIS has done. From slaughtering whole towns.
Yeah, let me play for everybody what John McCain said. Here's what he said.
ISIS is what it is today, thanks to Barack Obama's failures, utter failures, by pulling everybody out of Iraq, thinking that conflict's in just because we leave. So the responsibility for it lies with President Barack Obama and his failed policies.
So, Julie, I think you're exactly right. I'm glad we're able to play that bite. Let's take the last call, Logan, maybe the last comment.
All right, let's go to Willie in Las Vegas.
Hey, Willie.
Hey, Jay. Yeah, my question, Jay, is what I read yesterday, and I'm staying on top of this every day.
Yes, sir.
Florida Governor Rick Scott brought up yesterday about, because after 4 days after this attack, now they're bringing 441 Syrian refugees after the attack, 4 days after that, 60 in Illinois, 49 in Florida, 38 in Arizona. And the Governor Rick Scott, I guess he probably talks to someone from the State Department, more than likely. And they told him that they would not share that information about vetting.
Yeah, so they're not giving the vetting information, Jordan, from the State Department to the governors. They're not even talking to the governors, hardly. And that's mostly because they don't have any vetting information.
No, there is no information on these individuals. Most of them have no documentation. Some of that is because, obviously, their situation. But that's why we've promoted the idea of safe zones in the region. It's not that some of these people, most of them, need some kind of resettlement right now. But ultimately, there's not enough information about them to allow them to integrate into communities. It's not fair to anyone.
Yeah, and Than, you just heard that the Texas lawsuit on refugees was dismissed.
Yeah, governors are really concerned about this, and the FBI has told us some of these refugees are going to pose a threat.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. Again, thanks for being with us. Logan, again, people can keep making comments, and there's a lot of ways to catch this program later.
Catch this program later in each and every show you get on the JSecuLi podcast, the ACLJ app on iPhones, Apple TV, Roku, iPads, all different ways. You also get all our films, different television specials that we've done. Of course, breaking news on the ACLJ app. Get that right now in the App Store.
It's the deadliest attack on U.S. soil since 9/11. ISIS has declared war on America. President Obama has it wrong. ISIS isn't on the run. ISIS is on the rise. Yet President Obama refuses to acknowledge that threat. Sign on to our petition to defeat and destroy ISIS. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.